Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Now, of course, this is Jesus talking. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then in the next verse, he tells us that he and his Father are one. They're the same person. Sheep is talking about us. My sheep hear my voice. We hear God's voice. He knows us, and we follow him. He gives us eternal life. That means two things at the same time. Number one, that means that he saves us. We will go to heaven for eternity. And even though our bodies may die, we will never die. We don't taste death. That is to say, the soul will leave the body moments before the body dies. And so the person who is saved, that person will never die in their experience. Their body will die, but they won't experience it. And then he says they will never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. No one can take us out of the hand of God. Young people, remember this. Be confident in it. Don't ever lose sight of this reality, that no one can take you out of the hand of God. You have been saved. If you have accepted Christ, believed that he is your Savior, you believe he is the Son of God, you believe that he is God who came to earth in the form of a man to save you. If that is the case, and I know that with you guys it is, then you have been saved. Once you have been saved, no one can take you out of the hand of God. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you can lose being saved. That is not even remotely possible. You can never lose being saved. Sometimes people say if you fall into sin, then you can lose being saved. That is completely wrong. You can never lose being saved. When you were saved, in Romans 8:9, the Holy Spirit entered into you and now he lives in you. And everyone who has the Spirit of Christ belongs to him. You have the Spirit of Christ. He entered into you the moment that you were saved. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. That means that Christ is living in you also. This is what makes us the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are the body of Christ. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, you became the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. He literally made you into one person with him. So you are the body of Christ, and the reason why you are the body of Christ is because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and Christ is God, and the Father is God. They're all one person. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you are necessarily, by definition, the body of Christ. This is what it works like. We sometimes wonder to ourselves, how can I be the body of Christ, and how can the person next to me be the body of Christ, and how can all these Christians in the world be the body of Christ? Well, that's not that hard. It's because the Holy Spirit lives in every single one of them. He is a spirit. Yes, he came to earth as a man. And when we see him in heaven, we will see a specific person there. And that will be God. But he is also a spirit. He takes on the form that he desires in order to interact with us. So when we see him in person, he takes on the form of the Son of God. But he is God. Some organisms look differently. Take a look at a person, and people, biologically speaking, are an organism. A dog, biologically speaking, is also an organism. They look very different. They're very different types of organisms. They have some similarities, but they also have some significant differences. A worm is an organism. So you have a different type of an organism when you look at a person and a different type when you look at a worm. A jellyfish is an organism. So you have all these various different types of organisms. The types of organisms, the differences can be enormous. And the different types of organisms are many. There's organisms you can't even see without a microscope, but they are completely alive. They are completely organisms. This organism is different. It's a unique organism, but then every organism is unique. This organism isn't just made of many parts like arms and legs and head and feet and heart and lungs and liver. That's a lot of organisms, but that's not every organism. There are organisms without a head and a liver and arms and feet. They work differently. Look at a worm. There's no legs on a worm. It works differently. The body of Christ also works differently. The body of Christ is one organism, but it's got many different parts that are not physically connected, but they are connected through the Holy Spirit. And so because the Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer, the body of Christ is every born-again believer who possesses the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, you do possess the Holy Spirit living inside of you. God is not going to chop up his body. Would you say, well, I'm going to cut off my hand today because my hand doesn't feel terribly well. Maybe I did something with it yesterday and I strained it and it's not feeling too good. And so I'm just going to cut the hand off. That would be stupid. If your hand is hurting, you're going to do something to help your hand to stop hurting. Maybe you'll keep it warm, or maybe you'll put ice on it. Or you're going to do something to make your hand better. Maybe you'll let it rest. Whatever it is, you're going to do something to make your hand better. If, for example, we do things by mistake or on purpose, it doesn't matter, that God doesn't want us to do, that does not change the reality of the Holy Spirit living in us. He's not going to cut off his parts because maybe this day one of his parts isn't doing as well as it normally does or as well as some of the other parts. It's all his body. God doesn't cut himself up. He's going to do whatever it takes to help the part that's not doing well. And that can be a whole host of things. We're not really going to get into how he helps them today. It's enough to say that he helps them. In 2 Timothy 2:13, the Word of God says, if we are faithless, now being faithless is sin. In Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. So it's not just that I do things that are outwardly wrong that can be sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. But God is very, very merciful. God doesn't look and say, oh, you sinned, now I'm going to get you, or now I'm going to punish you and beat you up. No. If a person sins, then God is going to say, wow, that part of my body isn't doing so well today. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to help that part of my body get better, so that that part of my body stops sinning, starts to operate in faith, starts to enjoy all that it means to be the body of Christ, which is a remarkable thing. That's the best thing that can happen to anybody. But sometimes when we get into sin, we don't enjoy it being part of the body of Christ because sin prevents us from enjoying it. And so God isn't going to beat us up. He's not going to beat up his own body. If your hand is hurting one day because it did too much yesterday, you're not going to take a hammer to it and punish your hand. That would be stupid. Sometimes we think that God will do stupid things. God doesn't do stupid things. No, if I am faithless, if I enter into sin, if I don't live right, if I don't respond to him correctly today, whatever it is, he will do what it takes to help me. Why? Because there it also says, he remains faithful. So even if I don't believe him today, he'll be faithful to me. Even if I'm having a bad day, he'll be faithful to me. He'll be faithful to me just as much on a bad day as he is on a good day. He'll be faithful to me when I'm doing everything right as when I'm doing everything wrong. Why? Because I'm his body. He doesn't turn against himself. And that's what it says there in the last part of that verse. He cannot deny himself. If he cannot deny himself, he cannot deny me, because that would be denying himself. You cannot lose being saved because what part of God is going to go to hell? That's a ridiculous notion. God is the creator of the universe. What part of him goes to hell? God came to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. What part of God goes into hell? God makes us into his body when we believe. Of course you can't not be saved. Once you're saved, and you will always be saved. You cannot be taken out of the hand of God. You just may very well be the hand of God. And if you're not the hand, you're another part of the body of God. Each person has their own unique individual part that they are of the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit of God sealed you for the day of redemption. To be sealed means that you are secured. It's like sealing a letter in an envelope. If you write a letter, you put it into an envelope, and then you got that sticky stuff, and you wet it somehow, maybe you lick it or whatever, and then you put it all together, and it makes a seal, and you can't open it. It's glued. It's sealed. It's like that. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We cannot be lost by the Holy Spirit. He has sealed us. And he sealed us for this purpose, that we should be redeemed by Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, the fact that we are sealed by God, by the Holy Spirit, is our guarantee that we are saved. God is saying, I sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. I sent the Holy Spirit to seal you. You are my body because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your 100% guarantee you will be saved the moment you believe. After that, it cannot be undone. It is there forever, you will always be saved, and the Holy Spirit will live inside of you forever. That means you will never find yourself, not even in heaven, not even in eternity, in a position where you could not be saved anymore. Now, I used to wonder when I was younger, could it be possible that maybe someday when I get to heaven, I'll make a mistake, and then just like Lucifer, I'll turn against God? The thought terrified me. Frankly, it made me very nervous. Is it possible? I don't know what the future brings, but maybe I'll be one of those who gets deceived, and I would turn against God. Is that even possible, God? And the answer is no. It is not possible. The reason why it is not possible is because I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not leave me just because I'm in heaven. I am the Holy Spirit's permanent residence. You are the Holy Spirit's permanent residence. He will never, ever leave you. Once you are in heaven, the Holy Spirit is still inside of you. You never have to worry that even in heaven, even 100 billion years from now, that you could in any way get unsaved. Even if we are faithless, He will remain faithful. He cannot deny Himself. In Romans 8:38, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, which is categories of demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. And everything except God is created. I'm convinced that none of them shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's saying here that nothing on earth exists. Nothing in heaven exists. Nothing in the past, present, or future exists. Nothing in the sky, nothing in the ocean, nothing exists that can separate you from the love of God. You can't be unsaved by anything. You can't even unsave yourself because of the love of God. It's not possible for anyone or anything, including you, to separate you from the love of God. In John 14:3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's talking to His disciples. You're His disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's no conditions put on this. He didn't say, if you remain a good boy or a girl, if you are perfect in everything you do. No, He didn't say that either. He didn't say, only if you go heavily religious. Nope, He didn't say that. Only if you do everything right. Nope, He didn't say that. He didn't put any conditions on it. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and the reason why I go to prepare a place for you is I'm going to take you with me. That's it right there. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You are His body. He says, I'm taking you with me. Now, let's say that you go out somewhere. Maybe you decide to go to the amusement park. And your family's at the amusement park, will your family take its body with it? In other words, when you go to the amusement park, are you going to take your arms and your legs and your head and your whatever, feet? Are you going to take it all with you? Is your heart going to be there with you and your stomach? Is it all going to be there with you? Kind of a silly question, isn't it? Or are you going to leave your body at home? Well, that's silly. Well, exactly. It's equally silly to say that somehow God would leave you behind. It's equally silly to say that somehow you could not be saved after being saved. It's silly. It's a ridiculous thought. You're the body of Christ. He loves you. Of course he's taking you with him. He has made you one with him. Of course he's taking you with him. He's always going to take you with him. Of course he's taking you with him. How can he do anything else? He loves you. You're a part of him. He died for you. He became one person with you. He's always going to be faithful to you. And he guarantees it. The guarantee he gives is the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. No matter what happens, doesn't matter what it is, you cannot be taken out of the hand of God. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.